Welcome to Talking About Singing, where we talk about singing. We are back for the quarterfinals, I don't know how these things work, of our 2019 Album of the Year bracket. Our finalists are Gray Area by Little Sims, When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go by Billie Eilish, Shea Butter Baby by Ari Lennox, Magdalene by FKA Twigs, Upper Right, Wasteland Baby by Hozier, I by Bon Iver, Thank You Next by Ariana Grande, Everything's For Sale by Boogie without the hoodie, Igor by Tyler the Creator, Hi This Is Flume by Flume, The Sailor by Rich Brian, Norman Fucking Rockwell by Lana Del Rey, Pony by Orville Peck, Zoo by Denzel Curry, Ginger by Brockhampton, and 1000 Gex divided by 10 is 100 Gex. That is our list. I'm surprised I remembered all the artists. How we feeling going into this week, guys?
Feeling pretty good.
Groggy. I'm feeling groggy.
It's been a while. Yep.
It's been a minute.
We are back at it. Took a break for the holidays. I think we all have some heavy hitters left. I think we all have a few surviving members of our team.
Yeah.
Let's see who survives the day.
Few heavy hitters and also Wasteland Baby.
All right, let's want to throw hands? I'll drive in this blizzard. I will drive in this blizzard 4 hours to kick your ass.
Yeah, drive this way. You'll be going away from it. We haven't had any snow, any wind, nothing yet.
Oh, well, la-di-da Shangri-La up there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty nice up here. Tropical, yeah. Actually. Tropical, yeah. Duluth, Minnesota.
I just listened to an Eminem album front to back. You know, I'm feeling aggro this episode, and you're picking fights, man.
Did you choose to do that, or were you, like, forced to?
All right, we're getting into it. That's a coming episode, I'm sure. I can twist your arm to listen. You would like it better than Kamikaze, I can say that.
I don't know if I could like it much less.
So, I am right, is what you're saying in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
Yeah? All right, let's shelve Eminem aside for now. Let's start it off. Gray Area by Little Sims. And When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go by Billie Eilish. I'm getting my 20-sided die here. So, Brendan, this one's for you. That's a nat 1, a natural 1. Dylan, that's a 17. That's a 12 for me. So, Dylan, why don't you start us off? How are you feeling about this matchup?
Oh, boy. I don't know. I feel like Billie Eilish was a little bit more pop emo, I guess. She kind of took a wave of that and really wrote it. She seems like the head of that sort of genre in the pop sense, which I have respect for in any... I like a little bit of pop every once in a while, and I liked a lot of the stuff that she did, especially just knowing that her and her brother did a lot of the stuff on the whole album. I kind of have respect for that. And Little Sims, I didn't really know much about Little Sims before we listened to it, but I really did enjoy the album. I thought it was really good. Like I said before, it has that grungy sort of underground, like in a basement sort of sound. The drums, the way, I don't know if it's the way they were recorded or if they used samples and distorted them with plugins and hardware and such like that, but just the sound of the drums on this album is crazy and I love it. And overall, just like the whole feeling of the whole album, like how it has that grungy feel, and just her accent, the sort of the UK, is it the United Kingdom,
yeah,
accent that she has on her voice. A lot of times I don't like that at all, but she kills it. So this is a really hard one for me.
Yeah, I can't tell which way you're leaning.
I think I'm going to go with what I first thought. Actually, I can't even say that because what I first thought is that. So I switched my mind. I changed it. I'm going to go with Gray Area, Little Sims.
Wow. Cool. Did you talk yourself into that?
Yeah. Well, at first, I was thinking Billie Eilish. Because I was like, I can't remember. I couldn't remember what Gray Area was. And then I remembered it. And I sort of fell back in love with it slowly, you know. Like, I guess Billie Eilish was like that quick hit, you know. And Little Sims slowly crept up on me. She knew what I really liked. Yeah.
And there you go. Point or a vote for Gray Area. I think you described both of these spot on. There was a little bit of a delayed effect with me for Gray Area 2. I think it came around on it more than I initially was. For When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? That one is such a sound of right now, and it's a wave, like you were saying. It's the evolution of so many things before it. But I think I like it more than Gray Area, and all things being equal, I think everybody deserves a place in the final. What are we at, 16 here? It's the little things, and I think I just like it that much more. I'm giving a point to Billy. I'm tying it up right off the bat.
All right.
Brandon, tiebreaker. Who's moving on?
All comes down to me. I'm just going to have to go with just a gut feeling on this one. But before I, you know, tell you what that is, I'm going to beat around the bush a little bit. I really liked Billie Eilish's album. It, like you said, it hit right away, that poppiness to it. It felt really fresh, and it felt really current. And I think there's something about what Billie Eilish had built up to on this album, going from, you know, her EPs and singles beforehand. She really put all that together, especially with the production, I think is what specifically makes it really come through. And as far as like Gray Area, awesome album. It's that really cool fusion of like 90s and like today and hip hop and R&B. And it takes a lot from, you know, American music while still like giving it her own spin on it, and that's really cool. But yeah, my gut just says Billie Eilish. Gonna have to go with When We All Fall Asleep, Where Do We Go? That's I kept coming back to that more. It just feels really good. I'm pretty confident and comfortable in saying that. Billie Eilish is moving on.
I can't hate that. The thing about Billie Eilish, like I was saying, she rode a wave, but it doesn't really feel like she tried to ride that wave or was like seeking out this sound because it was popular. It sort of, at least it sounds like she really just made this music because she likes to make that music, and that's just her. So.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally it. You know, and I feel like Billie Eilish for this album, with at least, you know, people who I've talked to about it, will kind of get talk shit on it a little bit because, you know, when she made this, she was 17, and it has that sort of, I don't know, like really youthfulness to it that I think people have a very easy time being dismissive. But I think they're really missing the point that it's just a fantastic album.
Yeah, and the whole baddie eyelash thing, I don't know why that's a meme or why we can't say a very simple name. Dylan, you're even doing it. I don't know why that's so popular. Is it because she's so young that we feel the need to like just kind of keep her in her place a little bit? Dylan, to put you on the spot here, why do you call her Billie Eilish?
I don't know. because I can't pronounce her name right, I don't think.
Eilish? Eilish. It's the same. That's Eilish. One vowel difference.
Eilish? Who knows?
Put some respect on the name, man. Come on, she's Final Eight. Eilish. Final Eight of 2018.
Billie Eilish?
Yes. Okay. I'm waving that banner. Let me White Knight Billie Eilish real quick.
Eilish? Or Eilish?
I feel like either way.
Okay.
Yeah. She's moving on. Next up, Battle It Out. This is our girl quadrant up here. Shea Butter Baby by Ari Lennox versus Magdalene by FKA Twigs. I'm starting it off this time. This one's a little bit easier for me. As much of a surprise hit as Magdalene was for me, that came pretty late in the year. It's really, really good, and it's just weird and fun and dense, and there's layers to it. There's something about Shea Butter Baby that I come back to a lot. Maybe I've just had longer to sit on it. Maybe I've just grown accustomed to the way she sings and her voice, but it's so classic R&B in a modern day. And I think we had an episode where we talked about her and Orville Peck at the same time. And those are still two of the highlights of the year for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's not a whole lot of bush to beat around for me here. I'm going straight to Shea Butter Baby. All the best to FKA Twigs, but just an out match here for her. I'm giving it to Ari Lennox. Brendan, what about you?
I feel like Shea Butter Baby is just such the talent, the just raw talent is just, it's always on display there, and it feels like where Shea Butter Baby is this nice sort of swirling soft warm wind, Magdalene is just like a jarring sled down this icy rocky hill. You don't really know what's gonna happen, but it's kind of exciting the whole way down. So ultimately I have to go with Magdalene for that reason. I just I don't know, the denseness, the ethereal nature to it, it feels really I don't know, impenetrable at times, and that's in like an interesting way. It's just, I don't know, I really liked it. Shea Butter Baby's fantastic album, but yeah, I'm going with Magdalene.
Dang, I can't predict any votes today. This is all a blindside. Another tie matchup here, Dylan. Let's break it.
Hey, so well, actually, I really didn't listen to either of these albums that much. I don't know why, but I just really didn't come back to them that much over the time. But I figured out the last time we spoke that some of my favorite producers and just creators in general helped with this album.
Oh, no.
Including Nicholas Jarre.
Oh, no.
Oh, we got Kashmir Cat on here, too.
Don't do it.
See some Skrill, some Skrillex. Kenny Beats is on here.
Oh, no.
And then, you know, I'm kind of like weird stuff. So, I gotta go. I gotta go with FKA Twigs.
Oh, no.
Nice.
I was feeling good about that one. That's a heartbreaker.
And just overall, the music videos, too, of Magdalene. They're super weird, but they keep coming up in my mind. When I think back to it, I think of those weird music videos.
The album cover does haunt me. That is burned into my head.
Yeah.
Maybe more than any other album cover this year. That is a strong dissenting opinion from me, though. That was brutal. That was uncalled for. And it's a terrible precursor to what we have next. Which is Wasteland Baby versus I. Hozier versus Bon Iver.
All right.
Brendan.
Let's start it off.
I can hear you rubbing your hands.
So, like, Wasteland Baby is just the Walmart watered-down version of I.I. It's, in no way is it a better album. In no way is it more enjoyable. Wasteland Baby is so okay. It is the, like, just so passable that, I don't know, it doesn't hit anything. I is, it's, you blend all these genres. It's just cool. It's a good fucking album. It, I laughed, I cried, I shit my pants. Wasteland Baby did nothing like that for me. So,
you,
yeah, Bon Iver, I, it's the better album. It, like, let's not kid ourselves here.
All right, fine. That's one vote for Bon Iver. Dylan, how do you feel about this matchup?
Well, let me put it like this. If you want something simple, you know, like missionary,
little under the covers missionary.
Yeah, little doggy style with like the blanket over your shoulder because it's a little cold out or whatever. You know, maybe just some some Netflix playing in the background, just something simple.
All right.
You know, you go with Wasteland Baby.
Okay.
But if you're looking for something a little bit more crazy, like, I don't know, like some role play where someone may be a dressed up as
let's hear it.
SpongeBob and
all right.
And the other one is dressed up as Patrick.
Maybe. Okay.
Yeah, a little weirdness.
Little
humor involved.
I see that, and I raise you getting pegged to Holyfield's. Thoughts?
Sure. What, Holyfield's?
On
that
Bon Iver album.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. But then, like, Patrick rips off his clothes, his costume, his skin, and it reveals a werewolf. You know, there's a bunch of, you know, oil really involved, and maybe gorilla.
We're learning more and more.
And maybe
yeah, that episode where, yeah, the gorilla.
Yeah. Yeah, hurry up and vote for Bon Iver so I can speak more about Hozier.
I'm just saying, if you're into that type of thing. But and then maybe like Friends is playing, you know, on the TV. While you're doing this? Yeah. But in Spanish? Then maybe you want to go with Bon Iver.
I feel like...
So what do you like, Dylan? Which are you doing here? Are you doing the crazy gorilla sex? Gorilla SpongeBob? I don't know, deep dicking? Or are you doing the fall asleep and missionary?
Oh, I'm doing the fucking werewolf and SpongeBob dicking, yeah.
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 Yeah. Hell yeah. It'd
get weird. Yeah. So Bon Iver. Bon Iver it is. There's other reasons why I go with Bon Iver, but you guys already know.
It's been discussed. We haven't brought up, I don't think, SpongeBob and Patrick roleplay nearly enough on this podcast.
No.
This is without a doubt the biggest sham of a competition. This is rigged. This is uncalled for. This is taking out a pistol and shooting the ref during a basketball game. Level behavior. How can you describe Hozier as boring missionary when the album's just so horny all the way throughout?
It's horny, but it's like PG-13 horny.
Well, alright. Dinner and diatribes in the bridge after the first verse. Oh, let there be hotel complaints and grievances raised. That kind of love. That's not...
Dude, Father John Misty said all of that, but with way, way more, I don't know, graphic descriptions. That's just like, shit, what was that song from like a couple albums ago? Light. It's just like Diet Father John Misty.
Better hair, though.
Yeah.
Definitely lankier. I still watch you when you're grooving as if through water from the bottom of a pool. You're moving without moving, and when you move, I moved? Come on. Come on. These are gems. This whole album is a gem. This is probably my favorite album of the year, and it's going down. It's not even making Final Eight. Uncalled for, unjustified. I'm canceling the podcast. I'm deleting this episode. It'll never see the light of day if I have any wherewithal to make it happen.
I just had a weird thought.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Please share. Please share, Dylan.
No.
I think you've already let out the weirdest thought, so let's keep it going.
No, never mind. Never mind. Moving on.
I'm appalled. I hate what's happened thus far. I was feeling so good going into this day. It was a good day.
Peyton, can I be honest here?
Yeah, yeah.
The only reason it even made it past the first round is because it was paired with Jesus is King.
That might be the most hurtful thing you've ever said to me.
Let's be real here.
That might be the coldest thing a friend has ever said to me, ever.
It's very, very true.
Tune in next time when Peyton murders me.
Whatever. What's Dylan? Dylan, I guess it's your turn for Thank You Next and Everything's for Sale. I guess that's what we're talking about. It's a whole cat and pony show.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, you can talk about that, and then we'll talk about it, and that'll be like the thing, and we'll do it again.
I guess
he's so fucking salty.
And then we'll do it again after that, and people will be like, "Oh, this is kind of cool," and they'll like tap the forward 15 seconds on their iPhone just to kind of skip around and, you know, listen to what they want to hear.
Okay,
is that kind of, is that the plan?
That works for me.
This is what we do for fun. This is a hobby for us.
Do you want to change something, Peyton? I'm hearing some real, maybe we should change it to talking about Hosier vibes from you right now. Do you want to talk about how butthurt Peyton is, talking about Peyton's sadness?
Yeah.
On this episode of Peyton's a Sore Loser.
Yeah, that sounds
great. Is that what you want?
It is. Yes. Don't threaten me with what I want. Anyway, yeah, fine. Dylan, take it away. Thank You Next, and Everything's for Sale here.
Okay. Oh, man, this is a hard one for me. I used to really hate Ariana Grande. I don't know if you noticed at all, but I had some sort of deep-rooted hate that I've seemed to pull out from the ground and just rip the roots out. And it's emerged, and now it's fine. It's all good. So I threw that shit beside me. So we're all good now. Me and Ari, we're good.
Okay.
But Boogie, oh man, I keep coming back to his songs every week almost, it feels like. I just love that album so much. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the production, if it's his voice, if it's the lyrics. It's all that. I love all of it, everything about it. So I gotta go with Boogie, my man Boogie. I love Boogie.
Boogie gets your vote. Yeah, this, I never had any deep rooted hatred that needed landscaping, but Thank You Next was great. It was a fun ride. Ariana Grande was on such a roll there for a while, and she probably still is. She's probably got a few more great albums in her consecutively, possibly. But yeah, Sweetener was great. Thank You Next, probably even more fun and a little bit looser and just kind of a bop all the way throughout. Everything's for Sale, though, it does have that lightheartedness at times, but you know, we're sad boys at heart, me particularly currently, and Boogie's got some depth to him. He's got some bite. He's got some vinegar and vitriol in his veins that he likes to let out every now and then. And not saying Ariana Grande doesn't have depth or anything, but you feel it a little bit more when Boogie is talking about things, I feel like. And yeah, both of these great albums, a lot of fun, but just a little bit more to dig into with Boogie. So I'm also going Boogie, Everything's for Sale. It's moving on. Brendan, how would you have voted?
I would have voted the same way. And I think what it comes down to is that Ariana Grande can have a handful of solid singles, but I think what really hamstrings her is that even though she has a generational talent in like her singing voice and is super marketable, I feel like the songwriting on a lot of her music is just subpar, and what really carries it is solely her performance of it. I think whatever's going on, Ariana Grande is good now, and she's turning out hits. I think she could be making classic albums if she had the right people around her. I don't feel like she's getting that. I feel like what Boogie did on this album, it's just more, I don't know, fleshed out as a full album. It feels like a lot more thought was put into it as like a particular kind of a concept. And I think that definitely works better as a full album. So yeah, I would have gone with Boogie as well.
Nice. Are you saying that when they see them racks, they stack up like my ass isn't a great written line?
I mean, not the best.
I don't know what that means. Can someone like explain what that means?
I don't know. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to say anything.
Fair, fair. That finishes off our top half of the bracket. We got 4 of the final 8. We want to take a little breather, guys? We want to cool down a little bit?
I'm fine.
I'm pretty cool. It's pretty cold.
Should we warm up with some hot takes is what I'm asking.
All right.
Do we got any hot takes for the week? Brendan, you got any hot takes simmering over there?
Eminem still sucks.
All right, you just want to keep it going, huh? I don't think he sucks. I think he's in a weird cycle where he needs to make like 2 bad albums and then a really good one. And he's only made 10, so that's like 50-50 on albums.
To that I say, that's an awfully hot coffee pot.
Hey, you just voted for an album where he said, like a shepherd having sex with his sheep, fuck what you heard.
Yeah.
He can't do that much damage.
I don't know. Yeah.
Dylan, you got any hot takes? Or any hot takes on Eminem?
I'm okay with Eminem right now. He's not that bad yet. But so me and Eminem are cool.
That's good. That's really nice. I mean, you're both from the Midwest. It would kind of just be like bad blood, you know.
I guess maybe he's like a little bit warm, like hand warmers warm.
That's nice.
No, that's bad. That's like closer to a hot take.
To say that he's warm?
Yeah. To me, like.
I mean, hand warmers are like a good thing. Like, you use them now and then.
No.
No? You never use hand warmers? That's what you're saying?
I don't understand the comparison.
He's comparing, like, he's hot. It's like a hot take.
That he's warm.
Yeah.
Like, you're lukewarm. He makes lukewarm music.
No. He's getting warmer to a hot take of mine.
Oh, to say he's bad.
Yeah.
And he's cold.
Exactly. Yeah, so right now he's like a hand warmer warm.
Okay.
Compared to a hot take, which is like hot.
Sure.
Having a stroke.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, what... So like hot is... Like boiling is 100 degrees Celsius and freezing is 0. Where is Eminem at to getting to 100 degrees hot take to say he's 0 degrees bad cold?
Whatever. He's not European. Why are we doing the metric system?
Because I don't know the boiling point of water in Fahrenheit.
420.
Bad. Go home.
whatever a hand warmer is, whatever temperature it's, that is.
Okay. 212 degrees.
But I tell you one thing. A hand warmer is that?
It's 212 degrees.
That's the boiling point of water, so no.
Oh. All I'm saying is he's not that close. But one thing, hold on. One thing that is inching me toward more of like a little bit more hot is his fans.
Real, that's a major drawback for me.
Yeah. His fans that... like you, Peyton.
I mean, I'm not the biggest... I like Eminem the character and like his story arc, but I'm not listening to him all the time.
Sure. Sure.
You know, it's more about like the evolution and what he's doing than the music at this point. Which has kind of always been the case, but yeah, who's to say?
Mm. He's at a hand warmer heat for me right now, so we're good.
That's fair.
We got a ways.
Do you have any scorching hot 212 degree takes?
I do have one. Cyberpunk 2077 getting delayed has made me a madman.
Is that the Keanu Reeves game?
Yep.
Mm.
Supposed to come in April. It's coming in September now, I believe.
Dang.
Yeah, it's...
That's okay.
Sucks.
You know, I've waited 7 years for a new Animal Crossing game, and that also got pushed back, so I feel your pain.
Oh, yeah.
That makes less sense than Cyberpunk, you know, Animal getting Crossing. Delayed. It's like Animal Crossing, how much, I don't know.
The graphics, man.
Yeah, right, like, who's gonna be like, damn, this is, like, not in 4K? Like, I'm upset.
My raccoon neighbor, you can't see the individual hairs of fur. This is ridiculous.
Right? I want to see the pores on his little nose.
his tiny hands.
Yeah, I think my hot take, I don't know how hot of a take it is. It's just more of an observation. But it really feels like all of like the biggest stars of the past decade. In 2019, it seems like a lot of them really fizzled out. Like Taylor Swift still like, you know, charted. But like, I don't know. Taylor Swift definitely feels like her relevance is waning. Justin Bieber, his relevance is waning, especially with like the how hard he is trying to like promote
yummy
yeah. Yeah, to like cringe levels. Katy Perry, what's she doing? I don't know, not a whole hell of a lot. Bruno Mars, what's going on? It just feels like there's been almost a really definitive changing of the guard in popular music, and that's really cool.
I mean, what is the shelf life of like a famous musician? Is it longer than 10 years?
I mean, it depends. For most people, no, but
I guess they're all just kind of expiring at the same time,
right?
I think an artist has to, especially like 10 years, if they're around for like 10 years, they have to change what they were doing at the beginning. Sort of like Kanye, you know, how he's going between a bunch of different things, like different genres and experimenting with different types of music. Mm-hmm. But they have to do it right, and they still have to keep a lot of their core. They have to keep their core sound that made them who they are. So if they stray too far off of that, I think they fall off, because all those fans that were there from the beginning are the real ones, and if they stray too far from that sound that they like, they're going to fall off real quick. So I think they have to do a balancing act between that. And I actually think Kanye's done a really good job of that, but it's something that's, I think, for a lot of artists is really hard to do.
Yeah, it's impossible. Like, every artist, I think it was it 2017? There was, like, a Linkin Park album, that Taylor Swift album. A couple other, was that 444 too? There was one year where just, like, a bunch of people released albums that other fan base just hated. And all of them had the exact same sentiment of, like, well, what do you want us to do? We can't make the same album again. we're trying something new. Like, Taylor Swift went darker, Linkin Park went lighter. Even if you hate those albums, like, I respect the try. It's just sad seeing people crank out the same music, like Justin Bieber. That also doesn't work great.
It's tough.
Dylan, yeah, it seems like an impossible line to toe.
And they have to avoid just, like, being canceled nowadays, I feel like.
Yeah.
Just a lot. Gotta of do it. Do it like Bob Dylan. Just, like, keep cranking out album year after year. Go on that weird, I'm making Christian music thing now. And it's like, you can make good music, but I feel like if you're trying to make music that is, like, especially relevant and, like, a mainstream level, I don't know how you can do that for 20 years, you know? It doesn't feel possible, but you can, I don't know, I feel like if you're an artist, you can make stuff that you like.
Mm-hmm.
If you do that, but, you know, then again, that doesn't keep, you know, the mansion running. The deep cuts don't keep the, you know, the cars in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So,
if you're good with hot takes, we want to do the other half of the bracket here.
Yeah.
Get.
I thought I just saw lightning.
Into it. That's,
that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's winter time, man. Should be Santa. Let's dive in. Igor by Tyler, the Creator versus Hi, This Is Flume by Flume. Who is it? Dylan just started back around to me. This one is...
Comes down to you, Peyton, pretty much.
A matchup. Ah, interesting. Hi, This Is Flume. Great album. There's so many great, weird albums this year. For as lackluster as a lot of releases were, this one is one of those things where you just kind of scratch your head and acknowledge you don't understand it, but you feel it in your soul, maybe, or the part of the human consciousness that is neither physical nor chemical. It's just there.
The jellies.
Yeah. It's in the ether. It is around us. It is vibe incarnate. And it's great. And it's going up against Igor, which is also great. I've come around on Igor quite a bit. I think I'm ready to say it. I think it's better than Tyler or Flower Boy. I think it might be a little bit better.
Wow.
It feels less empty to me. Flower Boy always felt a little bit empty. Igor, as a persona, as a story, works. There's a lot going on in this album. I don't feel it in the part of my brain that I feel Flume, but I don't think I can deny that it is altogether a complete album, fleshed out front to back, sounds great, lyrics are there. I hate to say this, but I'm not voting for Flume. I'm voting for Tyler, the Creator, not begrudgingly for Igor's sake, but for nostalgically Hi, This Is Flume's sake. You will be missed. Brendan, how you feeling?
Yeah, it's Igor. It's not even close for me. Hi, This Is Flume is an all right album. Igor is, yeah, I loved this album a lot. I think the attention to both, like, theme, style, and just being able to make something that sounds both janky and polished at the same time is something that I really love about Tyler's style. How, you know, it feels, there's that sort of, I think, punk rock element to it where it's almost, it's like, it feels DIY, it feels really loose and kind of sloppy, but in a really good way. Hi, This Is Flume, it was okay. I didn't really connect with it. Igor, all the way. It's a better album in general. I wouldn't necessarily call it a rap album. It's got a bunch of other stuff tied into it. And it's, I don't know, for me, an infinitely more enjoyable listen.
There you have it. Igor's moving on, but Dylan, how'd you have voted?
Yeah, I can't hate on that. Tyler Creator's album was It was more of an album. It had lyrics. It was, like Peyton said, front to back. It was just finished. Hi, this is Flume for me. It was beats. It had a lot of beats, really cool sounds, and just interesting sound design, but really didn't have lyrics as in-depth, and I still would have went with Hi, This is Flume, just because I'm kind of into the beats and the interesting sounds like that, and I thought it sounded really, really good, but I can't hate that Igor is going on.
A nice, clean victory on the lower half here. All right, Tyler the Creator, moving on. Next up, The Sailor by Rich Brian versus Norman fucking Rockwell by Lana Del Rey. Brendan, how you feeling?
Yeah, I'm feeling super confident about this one. Norman fucking Rockwell, all the way. The Sailor's yes. A good album. But that Lana album, dude, man, that's enough to make you cry. It's enough to make you jam out. It's so good. It is so good. I've really come around on Lana Del Rey, and this album is miles ahead of The Sailor. The Sailor was a really good surprise for me from Rich Brian, but Norman fucking Rockwell, damn. Yeah, easy decision for me.
Easy vote. Dylan, what about you?
Norman fucking Rockwell.
Wow.
Only because I really don't like Rich Brian. Maybe like when I pulled that root out from Ariana Grande and I threw it, it like landed right on Rich Brian's face. And it started growing.
So yeah, you don't like that sort of kind of comedy rap, like he's kind of joking around. Do you feel the same way about Lil Dicky?
Yeah, I do, actually.
That is fair. That is the only answer.
Wait. Who, yep. Are you talking about Dave?
Dave.
He's Dave now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got his own show and everything.
Dave, I thought that was a different person. Isn't that like the UK rapper?
I don't think so. I think his TV show, at least, is called Dave, and I'm assuming he's dropping the Lil Dicky name at the same time. Because he made a song called Please Call Me Dave Now.
Oh
God.
Out of all the rappers with terrible names, I'm surprised he stuck onto it the longest.
Yeah.
Yeah, this episode sponsored by Dave on Comedy Central, I want to say.
Have you watched it at all?
No, it was all over my YouTube ads the other day, though.
I might torrent it.
I mean, I'm not going to support it with my money, but I'm interested.
I mean, I don't have... I can't legally watch it. Well, I mean, I don't want to buy it. You're right. You're totally right. That's exactly what it is. Who am I kidding?
Yeah, that so things go nowadays.
You know, I think if anyone would understand, I think Lil Dicky, Dave, LD, would understand.
Right. Ooh, LD. He should have went with LD. That'd have been cool. And him and LP could have done stuff. They could have done an LP.
Oh, nice.
God, it's right there. Poor decisions all around.
So easy.
Have I even voted here? Yeah, Norman fucking Rockwell. For sure, 100% moving on. Unanimous vote by far. Yeah, I mean, this is no contest. The Sailor was fun and it was surprising, but man, Norman fucking Rockwell. How can you not? How can you not? That is a brutal matchup, though, for next week. Igor versus Norman fucking Rockwell? Ooh.
That's going to be a tough one.
That's going to be a sad off. But that is a battle for a later day. Let's hop on over. Last quadrant. We got Pony by Orville Peck versus Zoo by Denzel Curry. Brendan, I believe it's you. Or no, Dylan. Dylan?
It Me? Is
oh. oh, man. Ooh.
Man. I really didn't have my scope on Pony until we talked about it last, and I kind of listened to it a little bit more. It's a very, very interesting album. and I didn't think that I was going to like it that much. But it's just, I don't know why, but it is, it's good. I like it. It's good. It's probably one of the best that I've listened to in a while. Zoo by Denzel Curry. Man, that album just slaps. Like, Denzel Curry just keeps going up and up. You think he makes an album or a mixtape, and you're like, how is he going to beat that? And then he comes out with another one and just tops it somehow. Same thing with Zoo. Tops anything he's ever made before it. And I think because I've had more time to let Zoo soak in, I'm going to have to give it to Zoo. Zoo is an excellent piece of work by one of the greatest rappers alive today.
Yeah, I mean, this...
that dog does not agree.
Pay no attention. This isn't fair. This is a final two battle, if I've ever seen it. I mean, this is... The Zoo slaps, like you said. The Zoo slaps you. It slaps your mama. It slaps your grandma. Zoo will slap anybody that listens. And might be one of the most listened to albums for me from 2019. Because it's so quick. It's so fulfilling to throw on in the car and just jam. But Pony... It might be the album I've sung the most because it's just so melodic. It's so easy and dark and beautiful. And man, that Cross My Heart and Hope to Die just rattles around in my brain on a continual basis. It's brutal and it's brooding. And I don't want to vote either way here, but I gotta. It is my solemn duty. As a podcast host, we all signed the contract with the devil. I'm going Pony. I'm going Orville Damn Peck. It. I'm tying it up. This is right. a battle for the ages, but somebody's got to win. Brendan, who's it going to be?
It's going to be the album I picked. It's Pony, and I would pick that regardless. This album, Zoo... is, I think, a really good album. I don't see it as being, like, the best. It's certainly, like, top. I think it's going out at a good point. It's a shorter album, but it has two interludes in it. And, I don't know, it will really, really hit at some points, and other times it definitely feels like it'll kind of simmer in a way. That is, you know, not necessarily intended, but some of the songs don't. I think they could have, like, popped off even more, and I think that would put it over the top. But yeah, Pony just does it for me. It's I think certainly one of the more refreshing albums of the year. It's good to hear something like this. I think for, you know, a newcomer, Orville Peck certainly has a lot to say and a lot to contribute to pop culture and pop music and, you know, country music, and puts a really refreshing spin on a genre that desperately needed something like that. So yeah, I'm sticking with it. Orville Peck, Pony.
Yeah.
Fine.
I mean, country needed it. Country needs something, and Orville Peck, injected a little life into it. Mm-hmm. Zoo, though, man, you hate to see it go. That's just such a flex. Like, the whole album, Denzel Curry said, was mostly, like, freestyled, and he just kind of, like, did it offhandedly, and that's so insulting to everyone else making rap music.
Yeah, that's very true. That's a really good point.
But yeah, gotta do it. You gotta make the hard decisions here.
I don't like that one.
You know, that
every other one, where I was like, okay, that's fine. I didn't like that one.
It's done.
Yeah, I think all of the audience felt that way when Wasteland Baby went down, so, you know.
Yeah, you, Hozier, and Hozier's mom.
Jeez, Brett, I got nothing. I have no comeback.
And maybe his grandma, too.
Yeah, right, maybe.
All right, well, fine. Let's talk about Ginger by Brockhampton versus 1,000 Gex, which shamefully beat Cheap Queen. My turn shamefully? To start.
I think you voted for it. You voted for 1,000 Gex on that one,
no,
I think.
No, I voted Cheap Queen. I think you guys voted. I'm pretty sure Dylan voted 1,000 Gex.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay, okay. Anyways.
Yeah, which, I mean, no hard feelings to 1,000 Gex, but very much hard feelings to you two, you know? 1,000 Gex deserves some love. They opened up for Brockhampton. It's kind of an interesting combo here. The crowd was not feeling it, as I discussed before, and I tried my best to rally some support for 1,000 Gex. They opened with Stupid Horse, fell out of my Porsche. Just amazing. Just great. As much as Flume touched my ethereal portion of my soul, 1,000 Gex is the ethereal portion of the universe. Ineffable, indescribable, abstract, just bizarre. And Ginger, a big step for Brockhampton, a step away from where they were, a step in the right direction, I think. Maybe not as much of a departure as Igor was for Tyler, the Creator, but definitely along those lines of finding a voice and finding like a singular voice with, Brendan, what's the last count? 85 members in Brockhampton?
Yeah, I think it might actually be in triple digits at this point. I think they officially absorbed all of Cedar Mills.
Dang, the town by where I live?
Air quotes, town, yeah.
So that's at least 6 or 7 more people. Yeah, it is impressive what Brockhampton is doing, and Ginger's a great album. Yeah, it's tough. The little kid in me just wants to sit and eat a plate of 1,000 Gex, but the adult part of my brain is like, no, have some Ginger too. This is, you know, nice. Good for you. But I don't think I'm going to listen to the adult side of my brain on this one. Usually I do. Usually I am going for the depth and the emotion. You know, screw that. I want a big bowl of 1,000 Gex. And I'm voting for it. 1,000 Gex gets my vote. And I'm unashamed.
That's really fucking good.
Brendan, how do you feel?
God, both of these are my albums, so I'm in like... I'm in a tough place. I'm in a really, really tough place because I feel a lot of the same things. You know, Ginger has... that's got everything. They've got that early 2000s R&B baby-making music type stuff. They've got, you know, some real sad boy pop. You've got some just straight hip-hop bangers. But 1,000 Gex is just like, oh my god, it's a hamster on crack cocaine in a flaming windmill to hell. While you're downloading a million files off of LimeWire, your computer has like some sort of... it has an STD or something like that. It sounds like an error message from Satan. 100 Gex are just... they're so cool and so silly and profound, and it's a breath of... it's like sticking your head into a smog factory and just getting high off of the fumes. I agree. It's... man, it's 100 Gex. It's...
whoa!
Yeah, it's 100 Gex for me.
Whoa. No way.
I love that Brockhampton album. I honestly really fucking love that album. I think it's some of their best work, some of their most mature work, but I don't know what the hell it is. This 100 Gex album, I cannot deny it.
Dang. Dylan, how would you have voted?
Well, so, fun fact about 100 Gex, you can download all the stems to all their songs.
That's kind of cool.
So I did that, and I downloaded them all so you can get all the samples from their songs and stuff.
That's dope.
And for free, they give it away for free.
That's cool.
Yeah, you know, 100 Gex wasn't even on my radar. It was kind of crazy. I listened to it. It's crazy. They're weird. Super weird. They have some. I don't even know how to describe it. I feel like Brendan described it perfectly with all those weird analogies, but that's exactly what it's like. And Ginger, on the other hand, I mean, like, what? It took Brockhampton, like, what, 6 months to make this? It's like forever. I mean, come on.
By Brockhampton standards.
Yeah. So, yeah, 100 Gex. 100 Gex.
That's a unanimous vote for a thousand
Man,
gecs.
100, yeah, 1,000 Gex, they got some hype behind them.
That was the most, I think, the closest unanimous decision, at least in my mind.
Wow, that's crazy. You know, that's good though, because we have three very sad albums in the bottom half of this bracket. And you know, 1,000 Gex keeps it light. They're keeping it real with us.
We just want a party.
Well, there you have it, folks. Our top eight albums of 2019 are there. When We All Fall Asleep, Magdalene, I, Everything's for Sale, Igor, Norman Fucking Rockwell, Pony, and 1,000 Gex. Who could have predicted it? I don't think any of us even could have. All right,
Crazy.
guys, we ready to wrap it up? We'll do the finals next week.
Yes.
All right.
All right, let's for sign off from the land of 10,000 hot takes. It's Ben, Brendan Haley, Dylan Schemenauer, and Peyton Kaiser. We'll be back next week.